It has been said that the pattern of our speech indicates the rightness of our heart. Pastor Tim challenges us today as he continues the Pray and Then Go series on the issue of complaint and a spirit of complaint, the habit of complaining. Thank you for joining us, and we hope you'll be challenged.
It says that researchers say the average person complains 30 times a day. Yeah, some of y'all say, about 80 times a day. Research shows that when we complain, we get demoralized, which basically means that we lose hope. Basically, that we just lose hope. I believe there's an epidemic of complaining in the Christian church. I believe it's in epidemic proportions. You know, we should be the ones who lead. We should be the ones that should lead. I tell our church staff often, we are the solution, not the problem. I tell them often, I encourage that often, is we are the solution, we're not the problem. Say it often. If you're at work, if you are a complainer or on a team somewhere, it makes everyone else's job more difficult. You know, when you're on a team, whatever that team is and whatever is going on, if it's on a sports team or a team at work, and you have someone that's always complaining, or you in a family unit, you have someone that's always complaining, it makes it just difficult for everybody else to live. You say amen to that? Yeah, you got to listen to the complainer. Here it comes. A complaining is like, it's a hard word for me to say, Y-A-W-Y-A-W-N-I-N-G, yawning. There it is. You know, scientists tell you that when someone yawns, see there, some of you are going to yawn right now, I bet you, that we respond to that and it's like, it's contagious. Your complaining spirit is very contagious. It will attach itself to people in a heartbeat. Now, we have the choice not to allow the complaining spirit just to rise up in us, but we often do. So today, we're going to talk about complaining. This is going to be fun. So let's get ready for about a talk about complaining a little bit in the midst of God's word. John chapter 6, 60 through 71. You can put it on the screen. I think Brother Noah's up there. I want you to stand with me, if you will. John 6, 60 through 71. It says, when many of his disciples heard it, they said, this teaching is difficult. Who can accept it? But Jesus, being aware that his disciples were complaining about it, said to them, does this offend you? Then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit that gives life, and the flesh is useless. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But among you, there are some who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the first who were the ones that did not believe and who were the one that would betray him. And he said, for this reason, I have told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted by the Father. Because of this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer went about with him. So Jesus asked the 12, do you wish to go away? Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. Jesus answered them, did I not choose you? Did I not choose you, the 12? Yet one of you is the devil. You ever want to say that to somebody? You're the devil. Boy, my goodness. I can say something that Jesus is holy. You're like, yeah, amen. I can say, you want to call somebody the devil? I'll go all over the place. We need prayer. All of you need prayer. He was speaking to Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, for he, though one of the 12, was going to betray him. You can be seated. Please be seated. Talk about complaining a little bit. Here's the thing is, at the very beginning of this, when the many of the disciples heard it, At that moment, they had an opportunity in their spirit to make a choice, either to complain about it or to accept it with faith. Either to complain about something or accept it with faith. We have those moments in our life and situations in our life that we can at that moment make a choice if we're going to complain about something. Amen? We do. Whatever the situation is, we have a choice. And in this situation was a serious one. Many people were beginning to follow Jesus. He had just fed the 5,000. And a lot of scholars say that these are the people and these are the disciples around him. And he just began to preach about that, you know, that very true, I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood have eternal life, and I will raise them up from the last day. And they're listening to this teaching, and they were saying, this is difficult. This is difficult teaching. How can we accept this? See, Jesus was aware of their complaining spirit. He's aware of it. Let me tell you something. Jesus is aware of what we do. He's very aware, and I said it one time, we're out there on the front stage of life, and we're doing all this, but when that curtain closes and we're behind that curtain by ourselves, it's you and God. It's me and God. And he knows our heart through everything. So he sensed, he knew this complaining was going on. And he asked this question, does this offend you? Does this offend you? In other words, does this make you stumble that I'm the bread of life? Or I'm talking about my blood that I'll have to that I'm going to shed, that you had to take this stuff in. Does this offend you? See, many people reject God because it doesn't just make sense to them. They were looking for something on this earth that they could advance his kingdom here. And so it doesn't make sense, all this talk about this kingdom he's talking about. You know, we want something here and now. But here's more so, is it is the demands of Jesus to live holy, just as the Father is holy. Be perfect, just as his Father is perfect. It demands surrender. It demands surrender on our lives. It demands something in our lives. When the Lord speaks to our heart, it demands surrender. And so they're taking all these things in and seeing who Jesus is and what it's going to cost to walk with him. Because he's saying things and been saying things that the way I'm going is a tough way. It's a way to a cross, and I'm going to die and I'm going to shed my blood on a cross. And so there's this demand of act of surrender to him. Just not that, there's a demand of this moral standard of the highest level. Is that a lot of us don't want to follow him because of what he calls us to be and calls us to do. We often frame it like what he calls us to give up. I very seldom say that. I always like to say what he calls us to be and calls us to do. And when we're doing that, there's going to be things that are going to not be in our life anymore. A lot of times we frame it the other way around. You know, he's causing me to give this up, give this up. No, he's calling me to a life of holiness. He's calling me to live above reproach. And when I'm living above reproach and what he's called me to be, there are going to be things in my life that I don't want to have any part of. Nothing anymore. I don't want it around me. I don't want it around me. I know when I got right with the Lord back in 87, and I had some really good friends, you know, and I would call them friends. They were good old boys, you know. They really were. I still see them from time to time, and I love to see them. But as my life began, as the Father and through his Son and the Holy Spirit began to take my life and turn it into something that he wanted it to be, you know, I really didn't have to give up anything. It just left me because he was doing something within me. And my friends would call, what you doing? You know, I look back on that with my mullet. It's a great time, you know. Oh, Lord me. It was a natural mullet, too. I had curly, wavy hair. It wasn't a superficial mullet. I had it. Girls used to say, I love your hair. I said, I know. Can I put my hands on it? I didn't let them go, honey. I didn't let them. But one by one, they begin to understand that what Tim used to be, he's not that anymore. And it was amazing. And I'll be honest with you, I went through a time there of being very lonely. From that transition from that to a transition within our church where we were, there wasn't many people my age at all that was following Jesus. And I look at this here and say, Lord, this is tough stuff. This is hard. I remember going out to dinner when Golden Corral was a sit-down restaurant, and you ordered a steak and stuff. You remember those days? I would go by myself, not pinning roses on me. I'm just saying it is the way it was. And people at Horton Homes would come in and says, Tim, what are you doing? I said, stay here eating. And they felt sorry for me. And in my heart, I was just very gracious, but in my heart, don't feel sorry for me. Praise God what God is doing. And if I have to walk through a period of loneliness, I'm talking about as far as with companionship, with friends and stuff, God, it's worth it. It's worth it. And it was a beautiful time in my life. It's worth it. And sure enough, the Lord began to add these Christian companions around me. And it was a beautiful time. But he calls us to a moral standard that of the highest level. Let me tell you this. I've said this before. It matters how we live. It matters how we live. It matters how we treat one another. It matters how I treat my wife first and foremost. It matters how I treat my children. They see how I treat her at home. They hear what I say to her, and they hear what she says to me. As she calls me Lord and walks 10 steps behind me. Remember I told you about the thing about when we went to China? I told her, I said, now, in the culture, some of you hadn't heard this, I'm going to tell it again, it's funny. I said, you have to walk behind me, didn't I? And she actually was believing it. I said, when we get off the plane and stuff, boy, now you got to walk 10 steps behind me. Stay behind me now. It's great. It's fun. But it matters how we live. It matters. It matters how I treat her. I want my children to see me treat her as I think the way Paul said it, how Christ loves the church. And I often fail, and I have to ask forgiveness. We got to live above reproach. We do. I'll say it again, that's twofold. Of highest moral standard, but with a towel in our hand. Holiness is about living above reproach, doing the right things, but also holiness is touching other human beings with the gospel of Jesus. The gospel of Jesus. He really begins to prove his point to the disciples. He says, I'm the bread of life, but you will surely know when I have ascended into heaven. And in other words, he's saying to all his disciples that if when I ascend into heaven, which really makes it known that I'm going to go to a cross and I'm going to die and I'm going to be resurrected. In other words, that says you will believe in me when you see this being happened. Your faith will be made whole. Everything we've done is because there's a lot of people, they were proclaiming that they were the chosen one. They were Messiah. But the difference was that Jesus died and rose again. They didn't. And says you can believe in this. You know this. When I ascend into heaven, you will know these things and it instill faith in them. It says here that the Spirit gives life, as he said today. The Spirit gives life, but the flesh is useless. In other words, is that I believe that the Spirit can give the out of flesh makes it useful in this life. In other words, we can say something that if I was an athlete, you can look and tell me that I'm not. It's often that we work hard within our body to be the best athlete that we can be. That it comes in and it consumes us within our spirit, that we want to be the best athlete we do. So we work hard, we work out, we train, we do all that because we want to be the best athlete. But it's amazing when as soon as our season is over, we revert back not working so hard. Because the goal was selfishness. The goal was in our flesh that I wanted to be the best athlete because that's what I wanted to be. But if it was a truthful something, a changing of our spirit, a changing of our heart, is we would continue to work hard and make ourselves holy, to make ourselves healthy, I mean, to make ourselves what it was wanting to be. So see the difference in that? Is that we have this end game of that I want to be a great athlete only when I'm an athlete. But when my season is over, then it's kind of useless for me to work out. There was a time that I want to come up with something. Except for ping pong. I'm pretty good at ping pong. But the spirit within us is what gives us life. In other words, we may feel a certain way, but it shouldn't move us. Here's a test here about if we're living in the spirit or walking in the flesh. Is that the way we feel controls the way we act. You know? It's the way we feel controls us. When the Spirit of the living God is living within us, and these are bold words again, is whatever the world brings our way, we can walk through it with power. We might shed a lot of tears. It might hurt. But when the Spirit of God is living within us and we are in the Spirit, we can go through anything. We can go through anything. Because the anchor holds, doesn't it? The anchor holds. The Lord strengthens us and gives us what we need in any time of our life. So he says, because of this teaching, because of what he is calling them to, because of these things that he has said, says many of the disciples, they turned back and no longer went with him. No longer went with him. Think about this. A lot of this 5,000 that he probably, a lot of scholars say that was part of this whole group, he just fed them. It was a great miracle that really went on. They said, "Whoa, man, I don't know about this. I didn't sign up for this." You know what I'm saying? Ever said that before? You sign up for something and later on you find out, "Well, I didn't sign up for this." Ever done that? Yeah, we have. We have. And so they begin to look and say, "Whoa, let me ask you this question." And this is not over-spiritualizing, I don't think. I hope not. I wonder how many was affected by the complaining that turned back. I wonder how many was affected by the complaining that they decided to turn back. We can go through scripture. When the 10 spies went into the land of Canaan, they went and looked at everything. They saw what was there. They saw the giants that were there. They saw the milk and honey that was there. The land was there. They come back. Report time. Eight of them was complaining. There's some big old folks over there. Two of them came back and said, "Hey, praise God, let's go." The complainers won. The complainers are the ones that don't see things as they are. They don't see things at all. A complainer is someone that is so selfish that they cannot see anything else beyond what they want. That's a great definition of a complainer. Is they cannot see beyond that. All they see is, this is not fair, this is not right, so I'm going to complain about it. Complaining will destroy your witness. Being a complainer will destroy your lips. And I wonder how many of these that turned back was affected by somebody was complaining and says, you know, this Jesus, you know, yeah, he did feed us. Yeah, this Jesus, something else. No, they wanted to make him king at the end of that. So he got out of there. He said, man, boy, this Jesus, boy, when I'm full, Jesus is really good. I like Jesus. But boy, he just called me to something within my spirit. I liked it when it felt good when I had a full tummy. This is the Jesus we want. I feel good when I got a full tummy. I got a great bank account. And I got a great house. I got a great family. I got all these things, you know, and I got this going on. But when first time Jesus calls us to something, we go, boy, Lord, that's what I signed up for over there. You wanting me to do what? You want me to adopt a child? Lord, don't you know my lifestyle? Don't you know it's going to hurt my lifestyle? Lord, you want me to foster? Lord, you know it's going to hurt my... Lord, I'd rather be over here. No, Lord, you calling me to this? Lord, you're calling me to actually give to the church financially? But Lord, don't you know I have to buy... I got to buy that new gun? Don't you know? Yeah, you can all say that. I didn't say anything. I know where to hit you hard. I know you. We're over here. And Lord's calling us to maybe to take on a family that don't have very much and bring alongside and says, well, they should know better. You know, they should get their act together. And Lord's calling you to take on a family to help them, to nurture them, even buy them some food, even buy them some clothes. Now, Lord, you know, vacation is coming. Boy, I am meddling like everything now, ain't I? My goodness, I'm speaking to myself. Seriously, I am. And we begin to complain, you know, Lord, I got to get the children to ball. I got to get, you know, I got to go do this, Lord. And we start complaining of the things that we put on ourselves. We begin to complain about it. I got to get the children to ball practice. I got to get them to dance. I got to get them here. I got to save for vacation. I got to have that new gun because I shouldn't say this. I think Mark Byrd shared it. He says, all the deer hunters, be careful. In 9 months, you could be having a baby or going deer hunting. I'm doing Valentine's Day. That was great. Which my mom was going to get on to me for saying that probably. But I think you're getting the picture of the battle that could go on in our hearts and minds. But should it even be a battle in our heart and our mind? Should it even be a battle? When God calls us. I wonder how many of these people are affected by someone's complaining. Complaining will destroy your witness. It will cause havoc in your life, and your complaining will attach to others, and it will turn them inward to you. Have you ever witnessed that in your own life? I have. Right here, I've done it. I've complained, turned people. And sometimes we don't realize what we're doing. I really do believe sometimes we don't realize it, that we wake up and realize, you know what, I'm a complainer. Honestly, I think sometimes we just wake up and go, you know, I complain a lot. Survey says that we complain 30 times a day. That's just a secular deal. But when it comes into the Christian realm, Lord, help us. Lord, help us. Listen to me. The creator of the world is living within us. He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. We were once undone, going to hell in sin. And he spoke to our heart and said, I want you to be mine. And we enter into this relationship with him. And it should be the most wonderful time. And often, and every time someone gets saved, it's a great moment in our lives. But somewhere along the line that we begin to lose them, we begin to look on both sides and go, boy, my belly's full and I really like it when it's this way. But boy, when he calls me out of that, it's like, whoa, I don't know. I didn't sign up for this, Lord. I don't know if I want to do this. And many walk away from it. When he calls us to live above reproach, he calls us into holiness. And it moves us to reach those that are lost. It moves us to reach those that don't have a forever home. It moves us to say no to the influences that come in our lives. I didn't have to give up anything. The Lord made me new and fresh, and those things begin to drop off. And I'll say it again. Whenever I hear a Christian says, I got to give up what? You're already defeated. You might as well just walk out the door and just say, forget it. But please don't. Please don't get up and walk out right now. But you understand what I mean by that. When we have that type of spirit, I got to give up what? I got to give up that. I can't live together. I can't have sex outside of marriage. I can't. Living for Jesus is a wonderful thing. And often we make it so hard and difficult because we concentrate and we think on things like I just said, saying we got to give up. What? No, I don't concentrate on things. I never did. I was just thankful that the Lord has set me free. He set me free. In ministry, for instance, if we're not in one accord, it shows. It shows. A complainer will break down the spirit like that. I'll be honest with you, I don't like people around me that complain. I don't like it at all. I don't enjoy it. There's a difference in complaining and how they a legitimate concern. A complainer will always find something to complain about. Something's not right. I'm not going to go down a whole list of things within the church, but you understand where I'm at with this. He asked the 12, do you also wish to go away? Basically saying, you walked with me. You have seen so many things. Do you believe I'm the bread of life? Do you believe in these things? And Peter responds with something very interesting. I want us to really listen to today. He says, Lord, to whom can we go? In other words, he said, what is the alternative? Go back to sin, go back to the way we were, to go back going to work every day and fishing for a while, which, you know, that's not a really bad life, you know. You know, fishing, go back just to the norm, just go back to whatever. In other words, what's the alternative? There is no alternative. I tell people that all the time when they come to me and they say this and this and this, and I say, what's the alternative? To go back to the way you were? That's no alternative. In other words, Peter is saying, I don't want to go back to that. I believe in you. I want to have life. I want to be able to go on with you, even though Peter at the moment didn't really know what he was saying, but he had a heart that he really wanted to. He really wanted to be with Jesus. He really had that desire. Go back to that alternative living? No. Living for self? Being undone, living for ourselves. He says, I chose you. And I even chose Judas, even though I knew he was going to betray me. That's a powerful statement. It's interesting. A spirit, a person that begins to go down a road of not being with the Lord. There was a story told that a guy wanted to paint the Last Supper scene. It took him several years to paint this Last Supper scene. So he wanted to get the right people, you know, that he thought, you know, who would John look like? And who would Jesus look like? So he chose very carefully the different ones. So it took him years to do this. So he found someone that looked like Jesus. Man, wow. This is what Jesus needs to look like. So he got the guy in, he painted him. And years later, he said, now, he waited to last for Judas, to paint Judas. So he went on a search. He said, I know, I'm going to go to the streets. I'll tell you, that's where I can find a good Judas, what he looks like. So he found this guy. He walked up to this man, and he says, you know, I'm a painter. and I need you in a painting. I want to paint you. And I want you to be a Judas in the painting. Think about that. Somebody walks up and says, hey, I want you to be Judas in the painting. But a Jamie back there, a Morris, he has played Judas for several years. You know, I always give him a hard time. Here comes Judas, you know. And that guy, he asked, he was worn, he was torn, and he looked basically filthy and basically just rugged. And the guy that he chose looked at the painter and says, you know who I am. He says, no, I don't. I never have met you. Yes, you did, because you painted me as Jesus several years before. Which one are you going to choose? Are you going to choose a life that's comfortable? Are you going to choose a life that says, I got this, I'm comfortable. Man, God's good. Blessings flowing on me. It's great. Then suddenly the Lord says, really? Write a check out for $10,000 and give it to where I tell you to give it. Whoa! Then we just want to just run back over here real fast and go, thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing in my life, and how good you are, and how great you are. And then when he says, give up that in your life, it's a stumbling block to others. And Lord, there ain't nothing wrong with it. You says in your word, you made everything clean and holy. I got to give up. Yeah. All of a sudden, there's a battle that goes on within our heart and mind. There's a battle that goes on within our spirit, and it shouldn't be a battle at all. It should be already been worn. It says, Lord, wherever you send me, I will go. The theme is pray and then go. Lord, as I bow down in my prayer closet, that I would do it. I would do it. Lord, am I a complainer? And let me tell you again, husband and wives, don't beat each other up. Don't beat your children up. I love it. Someone puts on Facebook and says, don't speak to someone when they're about to go to school and think they're going to have a great day when you just really just whoo in them to them. When your husband's about to walk out the door, your wife is about to walk out the door, and you're like, whoo, I've done it to her. I've called her on the phone at work and said, she's like, what are you doing? Well, I'm the man of the house. I threw that in, you know. And it hurts her heart. She's sitting at work. And what do? I complain about something, and it attaches her to her spirit. And the rest of the day, y'all look at me. Her day's messed up. And one time she asked, says, why do you do this? And I realized, oh my goodness. So I'm not standing up here all self-righteous or anything. What I'm saying to you is that God calls us to do something greater. And we always say that's something greater. I'm going to go off to a foreign country. Great is being what God wants you to be right now in this place, right now in your home, where you work, and wherever you go. That's being great in God's eyes. When you're at work, are you a complainer? Or do people see you coming going, there's a man of God. There's a woman of God. Lest I get into driving, and there's people that cut you off, or we're complaining about everything. We complain about the government. We complain about, boy, all those bad people and stuff. We complain, you know, when a Christian's come to a place, we're the most offended people in all the world. Stop being so offended by the world. Can we just stop being offended by the world and we start complaining about it? You were once lost and acted just like the world. And when we can understand that, we know the truth, and the truth is within us, we should just expect to be treated harshly and treated in a bad way from people outside. We should just understand that. That's going to happen. And we should be able to say in our heart and mind, say, Lord, bring it on. Because greater is you that is in me, woo, than he that's in the world. Paul said it this way in Philippians. Do all things without complaining and fussing and arguing, so that you may be blameless and innocent children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, in which you shine like stars in the world. Do you shine like a star in the world? Do I shine like a star in the world? It is by your holding fast to the word of life that I can boast on the day of Christ that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. But even if I'm being poured out as a drink offering over the sacrifice and the offering of your faith, I am glad and I rejoice with all of you. And in the same way, you also must be glad and rejoice with me. Instead of complaining, folks, why don't we just rejoice together? Why don't we just get together and just have an old-fashioned rejoicing time? Husband and wife, get home and just rejoice that God can do something in your heart and mind. I tell every couple that walks in my thing, you look in the mirror every day and say, Lord, change me. Lord, change me. Instead of complaining about what he's doing and what she's doing, you look in the mirror and say, Lord, change me. Change me. Change me. Change me. I'll ask the question as Jesus asked his disciples, do you want to lead me too? I would ask myself that question. Do you want to leave too? Do you want to walk away? Do you want to walk away? I'll ask the question that Peter asked. Where can I go? Where can I go? Where can I go? But the sad truth is, many walk away and they go back to the really basically the useless life they once had. Lord, let it not be in us today that we would get in our prayer closets and we would shout out the name of the Lord and call out. Some of the best praying is when I pray for my wife and my children every day. When I call their name out. And the Lord just begins to give me things to pray for each one of them. It's good. Ask it again. Are you going to walk away? And Peter says, I have nowhere to go except with you, Lord. I hope that is your prayer today. I want you to stand.
Thank you again for joining us for this great message. And we hope that in the coming week and in the weeks ahead, your heart and your mind will be set upon this. Not to complain, not to find yourself in that negative spirit of complaint, but to give thanks and praise to God. Thank you again for joining us. We hope and we pray you have a great week.